Well, this morning, even in this message, I feel like it's very timely for us too, because whether you are or you have been directly affected by some of these folks, or you've got your own tragedies or hardships you're going through, if not today, then it's going to be someday. And even if not, even if that day is way off, we need every single day to be learning how to walk continually in God's strength, regardless of the situation around us. So I've asked this question before. What's more important, breathing in or breathing out? They're both, right? they're both equally as important. I mean, you have to breathe in, but if you breathe in and hold your breath, that does you no good, right? You can't breathe out if you don't breathe in, so you could say that maybe breathing, but they're both equally as important. One without the other is completely pointless, and that is the relationship between taking God's word in. We have to breathe it in. We have to read these words and not just read them and let them fly over our heads. We got to breathe them in. That has to be our starting point. We have to breathe in so we can breathe out. That's our starting point. But then speaking back to God in prayer, breathing out, interacting back and forth with our words then. And that's really how any relationship looks, right? You breathe in, no breathe out, or breathe out, and when you haven't breathed in, whatever, one without the other, it's pointless. And if you don't do that, then you lose life. You suffocate if you're not doing one or the other, or both, I should say. If you're not doing both, you suffocate. And that's how any relationship looks, breathing in, breathing out. Any relationship that's one way, where someone puts in all the love, all the commitment, and the other person doesn't reciprocate that relationship goes stale. It starts to wither, it starts to suffocate, right? When you send a nice, long, loving text to someone and they get back to you with K or like, you're like, I guess that's nice. I mean, a heart, I guess that's nice. That's nicer than the like, you know, but when it's just this one-way thing and you just feel like you're not getting that back, there's just, it's a one-way road, that goes stale and it starts to wither. So prayer is our response to God. He has spoken to us. He's revealed his divine plan for humanity, his love, that eternal commitment to us. He sent his own son to die in our place. And he gives us his word to tell us all about it, that we can rest in him, hide in him. He tells us of all the riches of glory that he has given to us as our inheritance. And then oftentimes throughout our day, we go through our day, we're so busy, and our reply is, okay, like. And that's it. And we wonder why our relationship with the Lord is stale. We wonder why we're so overwhelmed and exhausted spiritually and drained. We wonder. We wonder why we're panting like a deer looking for streams of water. I think that a lot of it is this. Maybe we breathed in. Hopefully we're breathing in with the word, not just on Sundays. But are we breathing out? And what are we breathing out? Is it just like a, and that's okay, because that's sometimes part of your prayer is just like this. But what are we breathing out? Because oftentimes we wrongly see prayer as just the time we go to God to ask him for things, right? But imagine if, say, you parents with your kids, if the only time your kids ever came to you to talk was when they wanted something. Some of your parents are going, isn't that how it is, right? That's sometimes how it is, and that's not how it should be. But imagine if that's always what it was. Every time your kid came to you, it was just because they wanted something. They didn't want to spend time with you. They didn't want to talk with you, get to know you, just kind of hang out. They didn't kind of ask for your counsel or advice on things. They didn't just kind of air out some of the struggles they're having at school or whatever. They just came, hey, Dad, I need $20. Dad, can I go do this? Dad, can I hang out with my friends? But they didn't want to just be with you and enjoy you. That relationship starts to go a little stale, starts to get a little dry, right? So we have to have this back and forth, breathing in, breathing out. And it can't just be breathing out, I need something, I need something, I need something. It's got to be more than that, more than that. Your Father wants more than that. He wants you to breathe out. And so we have to have this conversation back and forth with our Father. And prayer is the pivotal way that we get our will to become aligned with His will, our heart to be aligned with His heart, our desires to become His desires. Maybe I should say that reverse, for His desires to become our desires. We have to do that to have our relationship with God go from this stale, maybe sort of teetering along relationship or kind of a transactional thing. We want it to go from that to becoming a thriving relationship of transformation, where we are being changed and conformed into the image of His Son. So I want to pray, and we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. So you can start to open there, but I want to pray, and I want to ask the Lord to help us to do this. To very least, start at a place where we're going, okay, yeah, I need that. I definitely need that. We need to humbly acknowledge that we need help with this. So let me pray, and we'll jump into Ephesians chapter 3. Father, we come to you because we acknowledge, we know that we are weak. We know that oftentimes our relationship with you is one-sided. We confess that. We acknowledge it. And rather than getting discouraged, though, and condemned and ashamed, we want to be encouraged today by your word. My hope is that we would leave today with an excitement, with a just a longing in our hearts and in our spirit to desire more of you, to want more of you, and to know that discouragement's going to come, because we're going to go from here, we're going to try this week to do new things, and we're going to fail at it, and then we're going to feel bad, and we're going to do the whole thing that we just always do, but we want to keep going, because this isn't about how good we do our little strategies and our little methods and stuff. This has to be about us continually seeking, asking, and knocking, and being relentless with that, even when we're getting discouraged because we fail at it. We want to keep pursuing you. We want to keep looking for those streams of water and not just giving up because we didn't find it within a few minutes or after a few days of trying it. We want to long for your company, for your presence, for the filling of your spirit in our lives, for empowerment and strength for this life. So Holy Spirit, would you lead us and guide us today, convict us, challenge us, but point us to the love of Christ and the beautiful truth that the one who started this good work in us is the one that's going to complete it. We thank you for that great truth. Help us and lead us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul's writing to the Ephesian church, and he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." We've talked about this a lot the last few months, just us being part of this family tree, grafted into the true Israel, which is Christ. So he's bowing his knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, not our strength, but according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. What an incredible sentence that is right there. According to the riches of God's glory, he may grant to you and to me to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in our inner being, from in the depths of us. And here's the reason why. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want that. I want that. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Let's all say it together. Amen. Now, I want to state something before we go any further. Paul's talking about having this, the Christian having strength with power through the Spirit. That's his desire. That's what he wants. He's writing to them because they don't have that strength, and he wants them to have that strength. He's telling them how to have this strength. So if you're here today feeling a little weak, maybe a little embarrassed that your prayer life isn't that great, that your walk is maybe a little stale, maybe a little powerless, maybe a little empty, you're in the right place. Welcome to Life Mission Church. This is why we're here. This is why Paul is preaching the Ephesians. This is why I preach to us, because we need this, because we don't have this all together. I preach as a broken and weak man to broken and weak people. We're in this together as a family. And sometimes that makes some people uncomfortable. If you've got your things all together, you probably won't like it here for very long. Because we don't have it all together, and personally, I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with my weakness because I know that in my weakness, that's where I find God's strength. So I've become more comfortable with that over the years. So if that's you, you're feeling a little weak, a little empty, then pull up a chair, stay a while, make this home. Let's grow together in this. Let's learn to see God's strength through our weakness. A couple months ago, we looked at being filled with the Spirit. I mentioned that from Colossians 2 and other scriptures that we've already been filled in Christ, and that is 100% true, but yet it's not automatically lived out. And Paul even just said in Ephesians that they might be filled. So it's not automatically lived out in our life, even though it's a real thing. We need to be continually refilled by the Spirit. He's automatically given to you when you receive your adoption papers as a child of God. But imagine then as a true adopted son or daughter, you still go digging through garbage cans looking for food, even though your new family offers you a full 3 meals a day, snacks, everything, you name it, but you still dig through the garbage can. So you're filled in Christ if you're born again. I'm filled in Christ, but yet we don't live as filled. That's our problem. We have access to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. But do we go there? That's where breathing in and breathing out comes into play. Breathing in and breathing out. Being in an active back and forth communication and relationship with God. That as Paul says, according to the riches of his glory, he would grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It's not from our own strength and how good and how well we can do this life, but it's through God strengthening us in our inner being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. And the goal of that, Paul says, the goal is to have Christ actively living, dwelling, and transforming us from within. Real life happening on the inside, even when the outside is wasting away. Even when the circumstances are dire, but yet somehow our inner self is being renewed day by day. That's a mystery. That's something that only God can do. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what we need. So we have access to this. We have access and ability to go deep, to go wide, to go high, is what Paul says, to swim in the vastness of the fullness of Christ. You guys remember DuckTales, remember? When you were a kid, right? Remember Scrooge McDuck? Remember he had that big vault with all the money and he'd dive? I mean, that would hurt like, if he just landed on a bunch of coins, but somehow he was able to swim in his money. That's what we need to do. Learn how to swim in the fullness of God. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm that's stored up in that big vault, just diving into that every single day. We have access, we just don't do it. That's what breathing in, breathing out. So what are some of the reasons why we don't maybe read God's word or meditate or pray as much as we do? We say we don't have time, right? We're busy. Life is busy. If we're honest, we're just distracted. We've got just a lot of other things going on. We can't focus. Maybe sometimes with prayer, you don't really know where to go next. You say, Lord, bless my family, my friends, and all my friends' family, my family's friends. And you just kind of do the same thing, and you just go, and in Jesus' name, amen. right? You just don't really know where to go next. Sometimes that's, you kind of hit a roadblock. So there's lots of reasons. But here's the reality is that we're surrounded by time-saving devices, microwaves and cars and all kinds of stuff, and yet we still don't have time. So something's wrong. It's not the lack of time. That's not the problem. We have plenty of time. People back then used to have to make fires with their hands and sticks and stuff. They had plenty of time, and yet it took them 20 times longer to do all the basic things we do. So somehow we've increased efficiency in our life, and yet we are still super busy. All right, so time isn't the problem. So in your notes, I have a couple stats here just to kind of help us, I think this is important for us to be reminded of these types of things. The average iPhone user uses their phone or touches their phone, messes with their phone 2,600 times per day. On average, about 145 minutes, 76 different sessions they spend. The average person unlocks their phone 80 times per day, what's once every 10 to 12 minutes. Most people don't even actually know how much time they really actually spend on their phones. They go, oh yeah, I don't really use my phone that much. Like, yeah, right. Here's the fact of the matter. 15 minutes a day, the average reader, not a speed reader, 15 minutes a day, the average reader can read 30 books in a year. 15 minutes a day, average reader. All right, and yet we don't have time. So I want you to get this picture, and I want you to hopefully never forget this ever. These kinds of distractions, whether it's a phone or whatever it is, not just phones, but it's just whatever it is, these types of things, they're like slot machines, like nickel machines, right? You just put in a nickel, not a big deal, it's just a nickel, right? Put in another nickel, no big deal, 10 cents. Another nickel. After a while, you're sitting there for 2-3 hours, you're going, where's all my money, right? It adds up slowly. We don't recognize that because at the moment, I'm just going to pick up my phone and just shoot a text to someone. Lots of good things even. Texting your friends, encouraging people. So I'm not saying this is all bad, you know, these devices. But what happens is we train ourselves to be distracted, to be fragmented. Nickel here, nickel there. 10 cents here, nickel there. After a while, we're going, man, I'm exhausted. I can't stay focused because I do little nickel things here and there, even good nickel things. But then now I can't swim in the goodness of God because I can't stay focused. Because, and I'm just, you know, totally preaching to myself this morning. So I'm going to tell you, like, what I do a lot of times, this is one of my big problems, is when I pray, I start praying, I start meditating on the word, and I start thinking about people. I think about a scripture, I think about something that reminds me of someone that they're going through something. And so then I will go get my phone, I'll text them to encourage them. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm training myself to get out of this communion with God and do something that's good, but yet I'm robbing myself and I'm robbing the Lord of this conversation. So I'm just being honest. All right. So even when we're doing good things with our phones, with our time, whatever, we train ourselves to not be able to really rest in the Lord, meditate on who He is. And so now we're not really being transformed and not maybe walking in God's strength and power, but we're maybe doing these good things like texting people, but maybe we're doing it in a bit more of our strength and I think at least me, I can do it better. Meaning more dependent on the Lord. Meaning more time at the feet of Jesus. I'll get those other things done. And chances are I'll probably cut out a bunch of the nonsense stuff that I don't need to do. I'll actually have my priorities more in order. So I can't stress it enough that we've come to accept this as being normal. It's become kind of the water that we swim in. We don't even notice how distracted we've become. I can tell you for sure, 10, 11 years ago, I used to read a lot of books in a year. I can't tell you how much harder it is today for me to read a book. And I don't think it's just, you know, the phone or whatever. I think that's a big part of it. I struggle reading books more than I used to. And I think there's a lot of factors in there, but I'm just being honest. Like, I know that I have conditioned myself over the last 10, 11 years. It just gets, and so I can either blame it on other things or I can take responsibility and I can make some changes. And I'm gonna try to go after that one. I love doing the first one, but I'm gonna try to go after that second choice, making changes. We don't even notice how distracted we are because we become conditioned to it. It's normal. It's normal for your friends and family. It's normal for us. We're used to it. We've been conditioned to be interrupted, to be distracted, to be lured in. The very first president of Facebook, and this pertains to all social media, whatever it is, whether it's Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, you name it. But the first president of Facebook said, "God only knows what this is doing to our kids." He said the question they would ask themselves in their meetings, in their early board meetings, is how can we consume as much of their attention as possible? That was the goal. That's still the goal. How can we consume as much of their attention as possible? Because if we don't consume their attention, we don't make money. That's the goal of all social media. Now, there's a Microsoft researcher, her name is Linda Stone. She says this, this phrase is haunting. Continuous partial attention is our new normal. Let me read that again in case you checked out. Continuous partial attention is our new normal, right? We perpetually live in a state where we're kind of partly attentive to things. We're just like oh, uh-huh, oh, yeah, no, totally, oh, yeah, oh, what was that? And even when the phone is down, we still, it's just our minds are all over the place. We're training ourselves to do this. So moms and dads, husbands, wives, adults, kids, teens, always, always, always keep that in your mind. Be cautious. Be mindful that you're probably living in a continuous partial attention kind of a life. But you don't have to. We can undo this. We can start to undo this. I'm not voting for getting rid of devices and phones and entertainment, all that stuff. I'm just saying we can take a better inventory and we can make some changes. I think we all can. Because that continuous partial attention, it's not good. And a thriving spiritual life does not work in that kind of environment. That kind of economy, it will not thrive. Because now what happens is now we want all of life's interactions to occur the same way that we've been conditioned to that our tech feeds us. Little fragments here and there, little pieces. We want immediate, and we want entertainment all the time. We don't like being bored, right? You get bored, you go, "Where's my phone?" We just don't like this. We like quick, small pieces, and we want it right now. Our minds can't sit still. We always need to be doing something or being entertained by something or talking to someone. Even if someone's right next to us, we got to be talking to someone else. There's a novelist, his name is Nicholas Carr. He says, I think this is in your notes. He says, "Once I was a scuba diver in the sea of words," right? Like Scrooge McDuck. "I was a scuba diver in the sea of words, but now I zip along on the surface like a guy in a jet ski." Right? Just going through, just conversations, just they're not meaningful, they're not in depth, they're just, you just, okay, like, I mean, it's just, you know, that's how we've become. This is why, church, we give up on reading the Bible. This is why we give up on prayer, why we can't keep going. This is why we leave our churches. Or maybe go find a better church or better experiences, something that serves us better, serves us more and more frequently and in the way that we want, that has more to offer us. The Bible just gets a little, I trudge through it, it gets a little boring. Prayer, I get distracted. This is why we do this. Now, C.S. Lewis's spiritual mentor, this is in your notes here, he says this: "Hurry and busy is the enemy to spiritual growth. It's the death of prayer, and it only spoils our work. It never advances us. Hurry kills relationships. It kills relationships. It kills intimacy. It kills wisdom. All of those things take purposeful, slow, and I'll say even inefficient time. Relationships, good relationships, are inefficient. You don't just hang out for a few minutes and become best friends with someone, right? You go through messy stuff. You go through pain. You go through sorrows. You have joys. You fight through awkward conversations, misunderstandings. All those things strengthen and develop a good, healthy, deep relationship. Good relationships are inefficient. We don't like inefficiency in America. We want quick and now and instant. And if anything goes wrong, we peace out and we go and do something else with someone else, whatever it is. We don't like the long, slow, hard road of relationships and depth. Love takes time. Real depth takes time, intentionality, undivided attention. So what's the solution for us? The solution is not more time. We have enough time. The solution is not your environment, right? It's not your place of life. I know many of you have busy lives. You have busy work schedules, busy kids' schedules. But what I'm saying is that's not the solution either. Because wherever you are, we need to learn how to do this. And life isn't lived in a vacuum. So throughout all of the history of God's people, there's been people that have been super busy, people with a lot of time. So it's not like a one-size-fits-all thing. So even if you have a very busy life, what I'm saying is the solution is not to unbusy yourself or whatever, is we need to make changes in how we go about busyness or just the stresses and pressures of life. We have access, even in our busyness, and when I say busyness, I know a lot of us aren't as busy as we think, right? But some of you are truly very, very busy. But yet also we have access to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. So we're without excuse. No matter how busy we are without excuse. So Jesus gives us the solution to this in just two words. He says, follow me. Maybe you are insanely crazy busy because of work or kids or whatever. Jesus' solution to you, follow me. Follow me in that. Maybe you realize you're not as busy as you think because you waste a lot of time, okay? So you can make adjustments. Solution's still the same. Follow me. Let me help you get out of some of those ruts, those bad habits. So whether you're, if it's health that hunkers you down, that drains you, all right, the solution isn't, well, if I was just healthy, then I could have a thriving relationship with the Lord. No, his solution is the same still. Follow me. In your sickness, in your trials, in your sorrows, in your grief, follow me. Whatever situation you find yourself in, the solution is not more time, it's not a different situation, not different circumstances, not different health, not a different relationship status, not different like, well, once our kids are this age or this age or whatever, those aren't the solutions. It's not about where you live, it's not about your bills, it's not about work. It's whatever you find yourself in, follow Jesus. Follow him. With whatever time you have, whatever environment you find yourself in, the place of life, truly follow Jesus. Breathe in. Learn to love him, enjoy him, spending actual time with him, not hurried, not distracted, with an undivided attention. That's the only way we will truly change and have the power and strength of Christ living and dwelling inside of us. The only way that we're going to find ourselves truly satisfied, truly whole, filled with Christ and his word dwelling in us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, are you sick? With some of these folks we prayed for, your parents facing death? Are you busy at work? You have a lot of kids to take care of. Is it relationship problems? Is your marriage going through something? Well, guess what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You might be going through a trial in your marriage, and you back up, and you say, I want to be with you, Lord. I want to follow you in this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of God. You can't behold him if you're just zipping along on a jet ski. You can't behold anything, right? So we need to behold the glory of the Lord. And when we do that, we are transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So if you're a bit stretched thin or exhausted from whatever it is, distracted, maybe bored spiritually, or maybe this world is just becoming harder and harder to keep up with. You're not feeling very close to the Lord. It's not very deep. He says, come to me, behold me. I will give you real freedom. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. So I'm not pretending like, oh, we can just unlabor ourselves if we just stop looking at our phones. No, life has labors. So he's saying, wherever you're at in life, come to me, all who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, like that deer panting for water. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Follow him, abide in him slowly and undistractedly. And believe me when I say, I am not preaching this at all from a place of condemnation or judgment. I am right here with you, church. I'm right here. I want this. I need this for myself. And I want to grow in this for myself with you. I want us all to want this, to walk in this freedom and have this joy and peace, to live from a place of power in our inner being. And we know that it's available to all of us. So I want to highlight just a few ways we can do this. Next week, we're going to be looking at more practical approaches, kind of putting paper to pen, kind of really looking more deeply at how we can breathe in and breathe out. But I just want to highlight a few things to get us thinking and considering this week as we go into next Sunday as we look at more practicals. But the main thing that I wanted to just highlight today is just praying the Word of God. Praying the Word of God, meditating on the Word. So how do we meditate? We have to go slow. We have to slow down when we read God's Word. And if, you know, time really is a thing for you, like you have to be places, you know, maybe it's not doing 2 or 3 chapters a day. Maybe it's just meditating on a few verses. If that's where you're at in life, then do that. Whatever you have to do in order to meditate. If you can do 2 or 3 chapters a day and meditate, then keep doing that. But maybe because of your attention span or maybe just time or whatever, maybe you can only do a couple verses a day. That's fine. Just do something that helps you to slow down and breathe in God's word, not just getting on your jet ski and just cruising through your reading. So if you got to change what you're doing to read, then do that. Read in a way where you can go scuba diving, right? Not getting on a jet ski. And if your friends are doing the reading plan and they're reading, don't compare yourself to other people. You have a different life than them, okay? Go scuba diving. And if you can't do this, because just don't worry about that. Go scuba diving. Go slow. Breathe in. Slowly and deeply. Don't hyperventilate. I'm not talking about that breathing. You're just, okay, I guess I'll get through this. That's not what I'm talking about. That's breathing in and out. It's just not the right way. Breathe in God's word and breathe out in prayer. It's one of the things that's important for me personally when I start my day. I just have to sit in silence because my mind goes 100 miles an hour all the time. So I just have to sit and just be still, mostly just to unwind myself, to force myself to sit, to not be hurried. And I'm not talking about just emptying our minds. I'm talking about quieting our hearts. Christian meditation is not about emptying our minds, it's about filling our minds. But I need to first quiet my heart. I quiet my heart so that I can fill my mind with the truth that I'm about to read. So to meditate literally means, in your Bible, when it's translated from Hebrew, it literally means to mutter. So it's almost like you're talking to yourself, just kind of murmuring. So maybe you're reading the scripture and you're asking yourself questions. Maybe you're declaring it to yourself, putting it in your own words. You're preaching it to yourself. You're speaking it back to God. And again, for me, it's just quieting my heart as I look at these scriptures. A couple of the verses in the Bible that talk about meditation, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you might be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Psalm 119, verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Psalm 143, verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder. Pondering, that's the scuba diving. That's not being on a jet ski. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. We take time, we ponder, we think deeply, we rest in it, we consider what it is we're reading, whether it's 2 chapters or 2 verses. You take time breathing it in and you ponder. John Calvin says the word isn't received as it just flits about in the brain, but rather when it takes root in the depth of the heart. But our social media, our culture, we're taught and trained just to have things flit about in the brain. That's how we've been conditioned. So we have to recognize that we have to do this thing called the word and meditation and prayer. We have to do it differently than we do almost every other part of life. Taking time and slowing down, that helps us not just to pray well and more deeply, but helps us to store God's word in our heart and get his perspective, his will, his desires in our heart. We're sitting with God in his word, with him, taking him in. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Jeremiah says this. I love how he says this. Your words were found. I found your word. I picked up my Bible. I found your word. Here it is. And I ate them. And your words became to me a joy. Before, earlier in Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a little bit more afraid of handling God's word and preaching God's word. But he ate the word, and then his word became a joy to him, and it became a delight of his heart. For I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So when we think about eating, so we're talking about breathing in, breathing out, think about eating. You don't just slather food on you. Maybe some of you do. I've seen some of you eat. Your kids, maybe little babies, slather food on themselves, but we ingest food. It goes in us. We digest it. And what happens when we digest it? We grow, we're nurtured, we're strengthened, but only when we take it in and digest it. We don't just slather it on us. That's what we have to do with God's word. Taking it in, like Jeremiah says, eating God's word. That's what prayer does. It helps us to digest the word. We take it in, but then we learn to breathe it out. So what I want to do, I'm going to model this before we close. And then I'm going to have you guys actually do it yourself this morning. The memory verse from last week. This is right in your notes. On the notes page, Hebrews 1:3 is right there. That was the memory verse for last week. It's what communion is going to be on this week, so I figure this is a great one to do. Here's what I'm going to do. Because this morning we prayed for the Willis family, the Tease family, the Lamberts, and Jake's family, I'm going to pray this scripture for them. Just to, it's a simple concept. Most of you, a lot of you guys, you already know how to do this kind of thing. But I want to model this. And then what we're going to do is once we go into communion, when you come up for communion, you're going to take the elements. I've got little slips of paper on both sides with there's like 20 different scriptures. You're just going to grab one, so they're mostly different. And I want you to go back to where you're, whether it's your seat or off to the side, whatever you normally do for communion, same thing you normally do if you pray with your family, whatever. And I want you to look at that scripture, and probably all of you guys, if it's a family of four or five, whatever, you're going to have a different scripture. If you're not comfortable praying out loud, then I just want you to just look at that verse, and I want you to pray that verse for yourself or for the folks that are there. If you're comfortable, or if you're willing to step out in faith a little bit, then whatever you guys do, if you pray as a couple or as a family, whatever, or if you're praying with friends from your community group, I want you to pray for yourself using that scripture, or pray for the people you're with, whatever it is. But I want us to do it. All right, so that's how we're going to practice this today, and then next week we'll look at this a little bit more. But I think if you can bring up Hebrews 1:3 on the screen as well. If not, you guys have it right in your notes here. I'm going to close right now in prayer, but I'm going to be praying Hebrews 1:3 for these folks that we're praying for. After that, we're going to take communion as we always do, but as we come up and take communion, we're going to be practicing this, okay? So let's pray. Father in heaven, you've given us your Son to reveal you to us. You did not want to stay hidden as a God. You didn't want to stay mysterious and invisible, and so you sent your own Son to be the exact imprint of who you are. And everything he did, the way that he loved people and was a friend of sinners, the way he showed compassion on the hurting. We know that you, Father, are like that because Christ is the exact imprint of your nature. And so, God, we have these people in our lives, Jake's family, the Willises, the Teases, the Lambert, so many others. Others in this room right now, if you're going through something, this prayer is for you as well. we know that because you've shown us your compassion, who you are through your son Jesus, we know that we can trust that you uphold all things by the word of your power. You can uphold Jake's family. You uphold the Willises, the Teases, the Lamberts. You're able to do this because Christ has shown us, as he's revealed your character and your nature, Father. He walked in humility and compassion and love. He came to set the captives free. He came to conquer sin and death. And your word says that the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and we know that that is what Jesus came to do. And in the meantime, we ask God that you would help us to walk in faith when we have no sight, knowing and believing that by your righteous right hand, you're upholding all things, every dust particle. As your word says, even the dice that is cast into the lap, everything is upheld by the word of your power. And so we are asking God for your mercy, for your help, for your love and your comfort to be made known to these families, that your power would uphold them. Give them strength in their innermost being, that they would learn how to just limp towards the riches of your glory, that they may not be able to dive in like Scrooge McDuck, but if they could just sip from that just to get them through the next day, and that as they learn more and more and they get more health, they might be able to drink more deeply and freely. And when they can't do that, when they're unable, that you would bring others around them to just give them those ice chips. And that those ice chips would be your sovereign love and work in their life, upholding them by the word of your power. We thank you, God, that you are trustworthy. We thank you that you've given us the ability to breathe in your word. And we pray, God, that you'd teach us to breathe out. Teach us to slow ourselves down, to learn how to really enjoy, to be scuba divers, not folks on a jet ski. And we're going to get frustrated with ourselves. We're going to get disappointed with ourselves. We're going to want to give up, but we got to keep going. And we got to reach out to others to encourage us. We need to do this together. This is a community project. So help us, Lord. Help us by the word of your power. In Jesus' name, amen.